Good morning and welcome to Trinity United Methodist Church. We're so thankful and blessed you have chosen to worship our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ with us this morning. Just to highlight a couple of brief announcements before we begin our time of praise and worship, on the back of your bulletin, you'll notice that today at 1:30, there will be a group that will be meeting at Tri-County Lanes in Woodville for a bowling get-together, and so feel free to just show up. It's $2 per game. You don't need to worry about today signing up on the sign-up sheet. Also, every Wednesday from now until Vacation Bible School, there will be a group of individuals. If you can cut and paste and color or draw, please come out. We need you. We need helpers. And so every Wednesday at 5:30, we will be meeting in the Fellowship Hall to create the decorations for Vacation Bible School, which will be June the 15th through the 19th. From 9 a.m. to 12:15 p.m., and it goes this year from preschool all the way through the eighth grade. You can register your children or your friends, relatives, or anyone that wants to be registered at gibsonburgtrinity.org. And lastly, just a brief reminder that there will be a short staff parish meeting following the service today. We will briefly meet in the Fellowship Hall, so if you are on the staff parish committee, please make a mental note to stick around. It will not take very long, but we do need your participation. If you would bow your heads and your hearts, and let's go before our Lord and coming King, O gracious Savior, our Lord Jesus. Let us pray. O Heavenly Father, we bow before you this morning, and we praise you for your goodness. We exalt your holy name, and we proclaim you being God. We thank you, O Jesus, for your mercy and your grace, and we thank you for the measure of faith that you have given to each one of us. We especially praise you for this wonderful opportunity, this great privilege, and this true honor that we have here this morning to praise you, to worship you, to sing holy praises to your name. And so, Father, we bless you now. May you take this time and use it to glorify yourself, and may you just encourage our faith, and may you be exalted, and may your name be proclaimed, and may your word be extolled. And so, oh Father, meet with us this day. Send your Spirit to impact our hearts and open our minds, and may you put our feet into action that we might truly, truly, truly just be walking according to you the way. May you be blessed. In the wonderful name of our gracious Savior, Jesus, we do pray. Amen.
So good to be in the house of the Lord today. Amen. As we stand and get ready to praise the Lord, let's turn to our neighbor and say, Jesus is the way.
I think that's the hard thing, is to listen to him and hear what he has to say. It's hard with the busy life that we have, and to stop the noise and to hear him, to softly and tenderly hear him. How he's guiding us through this life.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See on the portals, he's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me. Come home, come home. Jesus is calling, calling, oh sinner, come home. Why should we tarry when Jesus is pleading, pleading for you and for me? Why should we linger and heed not his mercies, mercies for you and for me. Come home, come home. Ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, O sinner, come home. Oh, for the wonderful love he has promised, promised for you and for me. Though we have sinned, he has mercy and pardon, pardon for you and for me. Come home.
As we bow our heads, Lord, we thank you again, Lord, for everything you have done for us and the mercy you've shown to us. Allow us to listen to your voice and understand it, Lord. Allow us to be able to have that relationship where we give everything to you, for you are the way. Allow us to understand there is nothing that you can't do for us. There isn't anything you won't do for us. All we have to do is ask. And you give us a very, very bright future. No more sadness, no more sickness, no more anything, Lord, but forever with you. Lord, we thank you for being here today, Lord, and we ask that you bless this service and bless those that are here and those that couldn't be here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This is a reading from the Gospel of John, the 14th chapter. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going. So how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And if you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. The word of God.
Financial peace. We all want it. For a while, I didn't have it. 20 years ago, I hit rock bottom. I lost just about everything. I turned to God for help, and I learned how to handle money His way. As you can imagine, it worked. That's why I started Financial Peace University, because God's ways work. Whether you're in over your head or you're doing okay right now, if you bring home $10,000 or $10 million, if you're 21 or 61, we all need a plan. Millions of people have been through Financial Peace University. They have success stories of their own. They've learned how to get rid of debt, prepare for generations to come, and give like crazy. Your success story, your financial peace, is up to you. Now is your time. It's time to take control of your money. It's time to get ready for what God has for you. It's time for financial peace.
This is not to just kind of keep hitting you with this, but we want to just share with you that it's not too late to get plugged into this class. The first class took place on Thursday, and they had a great group. You'll notice in your bulletin, a bulletin insert, it is not too late to get into this class. And as Dave Ramsey said on the video, God's ways work. And God does have something for you and for me, and he has something, you know, for all of us. And friends, he wants to bless us all. And he can bless us when we live our lives according to his way and the way that he designed things to work. And so I'm going to ask Annalisa to come forward. She's going to share a testimony of how financial peace has blessed her and her family. And so I'll turn it over.
Okay. I've got the mic, and Eric's not cutting me off, so this is good. No technical... Oh, no. Okay. Eric and I took the Financial Peace University class back in 2007, shortly after our second son was born. And I just want to stress with everybody that, you know, it's great. It's a great program. I know Dave Ramsey talks about how he hit rock bottom and, you know, turning to the Bible and finding his way back up was, you know, an amazing gift for his family, and he wants to share that gift with everybody. But I want to stress too that you don't have to be hitting rock bottom. You don't have to be in financial distress to take this course. Eric and I, we were doing okay, you know, two kids and trying to find our way through. And of course we thought, well, we're doing all right. We don't have mountains of credit card debt. We don't have that sort of stuff going on. But just taking the class kind of opened our eyes up to the whole philosophy of Financial Peace University, and it really helped us stay the course. And there were things in there that we thought, oh, well, we've got this covered. We thought one of the things that they teach you is that, you know, you might think, oh, well, I'm going to have a credit card, but, you know, joke's on them. We're not going to have a payment. We're going to, you know, reap all the rewards and benefits from a credit card. But it's not really going to, we're not going to have a payment and whatnot. But they teach you that when you have a credit card, that it changes your mind about buying things, and you tend to buy more. You tend to do more than you would if you would pay with cash. So even though we thought, okay, well, we're going to get all these perks points and rewards and stuff, in the end, we were spending more than we would had we stuck with a plan of paying with cash. So I just want to kind of bring that out that they have, it's a whole way of thinking, and you know, if you think, hey, I my finances are good, he also has things on there for life insurance, for planning for your will, your family, things like that. Even though we had two kids, we thought, hey, we're young, you know, we're fine. And there is a certain piece that comes with, we ordered their kits, had the wills, that, you know, everything that we needed to have to plan for the future for our children. So, you know, it's a very important piece to have. So we would just say that it's been a wonderful program. Do you still get to take it? It used to be that if you took the course and completed it, it's free to a lifetime membership. Yeah. And so that's always nice to know that if you do get to a point of struggle or you need a refresher, that you can go back in and it's free once you've taken the course in completion. So it's a never wasted opportunity to have. So
cool. Thank you, Annalisa. And this class is not just for those who are members here at Trinity or those who attend church here at Trinity. This is for the community. And that's one of the neat ways that we can reach out into the Gibsonburg community and the surrounding areas. So even if you know somebody, if you know a friend, a neighbor, a family member that are struggling in this way, I would just invite you, you know, to share that with them. It's never too late to get plugged in. Right. Yeah, you can come in and pop in, and you can go right on the Financial Peace website, and you can look, and you, if you do need a refresher course, say that you just need a refresher course for investments. You can see, hey, this is the week, May whatever, they're going to be covering investments. You can just jump right in, and then you don't have to come back. You know, so it's not like you're re-upping to do the whole course all over again. You can pick and choose what is particular your need and your area of interest. And so, you know, you can do that online, or you can talk with Daniel. He's over there. Gina's over there. So, but yeah, it's just God has something for all of us. And friends, God wants to bless you and he wants to bless me. And one of the ways that he blesses us is when we live our lives according to his way. Know that. That's what God wants for you and for me. And there's a reason why Dave Ramsey called this financial peace. I mean, think about the biggest blessing that you and I could ever have in our finances is to be at peace and to not be struggling, not to be anxious, not to be, you know, fretting over what's going to happen. How cool. And so I just invite you, if you know someone, share the word. You know, get the word out there. This is not just for Trinity. This is for anyone and everyone. As we continue our time of worship here this morning with the giving of our tithes and offerings, if the ushers would please come, may we all give back to our living Lord Jesus a portion of what he has blessed us with. Amen. You may be seated. The disciples had just celebrated Passover with Jesus, and they're still in the upper room, and Judas had suddenly departed on his way to betray the Lord, who was facing the imminent beatings, mockings, trial, and the subsequent crucifixion. Jesus had before him death on a cross at the hands of the Romans with the blessings of the Jewish religious leaders. And this immediate future would consist of Jesus being betrayed by his closest friends, the disciples. All who claimed to follow Jesus would deny him, leaving him to stand alone. And while on the cross, God the Father would eventually turn his back on Jesus, allowing him to experience the severe alienation from God himself while bearing the entire weight of punishment for the sins of all people. And so with the future being set for Jesus and his focus not wavering, he begins to teach the disciples in this upper room after the Passover meal. And we call this portion of the four chapters in the Gospel of John the last discourse or Jesus' last teaching before his betrayal, his arrest, and his crucifixion. Now, it's important that we grasp the mood in the upper room to fully understand the message and listen to verse 1 of chapter 14 once again. Jesus' first words to the disciples were, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me." We can hear the words of comfort from Jesus. He is admonishing the disciples to not fear, to not be dismayed, to not waver and simply believe, to simply trust in God and to trust in him or to trust in Jesus. Now, it may be strange to hear at the beginning of Jesus' speaking that he's seeking to comfort his disciples, but we must remember the events which led to this statement. The disciples in the upper room, they were shamed by refusing to wash each other's feet. They were dumbfounded to hear Jesus predict that one of them would betray him. They were even appalled at the news that their leader Peter would deny Christ. And they undoubtedly were unsettled because they surely sensed Jesus himself, being fully God and fully man, was being troubled. All of these events, friends, would have added to the already increasing emotional turmoil the followers of Jesus would have been feeling. Now, I'm sure that they sensed the apprehension of Jesus himself, too. And so Jesus speaks words of comfort, words of assurance, and words of strength, words of perspective, and words of direction and guidance. These were words which would anchor them for the upcoming days, months, and years after the departing of Christ. We must understand the words Jesus spoke, "Let not your hearts be troubled," was not admonishing the disciples to not start being troubled. Friends, the disciples were already troubled. I want us to grasp that. The situation in the upper room, there was this angst, there was this anxiety, there was this tension. And I want us to understand the feeling in that upper room that night, for it reveals the true message which Jesus has for you and for me, and he had for the disciples. The original text uses the word for troubled, which means to shake or to stir up, and it's the same word that is used to describe the literal stirring of the pool of Bethesda. And it's also used in a figurative sense to speak of a spiritual agitation. And so here we have Jesus, who surely was anxious about the upcoming events surrounding his crucifixion, which he would endure, and yet he senses the confusion, he senses the concerns, and he senses the troubledness of the disciples, and he puts what he's feeling behind him, and he seeks to comfort them. Jesus begins to speak to them. Listen to the first six verses of chapter 14 of the Gospel of John once again. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And when I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Now surely our focus this morning is upon verse 6, where Jesus proclaims, I am the way and the truth and the life. This statement is the sixth I am statement of the seven that Jesus spoke. Next week we'll look at the last of these, which is found in John 15, the last of these I am statements. But this morning, let us not miss the desire of the Lord Jesus to offer comfort in the midst of fear. It was Jesus' heart to give strength to the disciples who were being shaken and stirred up mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. And friends, Jesus wants to give you that same comfort. He wants to give you and me that same strength, that same foundation for your life and mine. Now be sure it was so heavy upon Jesus' heart to comfort his disciples that he even assured them later in this same chapter that he would send another counselor. Listen to the promise of Jesus. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you desolate. I will come to you. Now we know Jesus was talking about sending the Holy Spirit for you and me, but don't miss the heart of Jesus. Jesus wants to comfort you and me. He wants to provide the strength, the stability, and the blessing for your life and mine. I'm going to say that last phrase again. He wants to bless you. He wants to bless your life and mine. He yearns to do this in your life and mine so much that he was willing to seek God the Father on your behalf and on mine and ask that God would send, don't miss this word, another. Yes, the scripture says another counselor. Friends, Jesus was talking about the Holy Spirit and himself, and we need to grasp the fact that Jesus was not just speaking of the Holy Spirit as being the counselor or the comforter or the paraclete or the advocate. Jesus was calling himself a comforter. He was calling himself the paraclete, the advocate, the helper as well. And yes, we who follow Jesus have two, and yes, I said two counselors. We have two advocates. We have two helpers. And surely the one is the Holy Spirit. The other is Jesus himself. And friends, this is vitally important. It's so important because of how we view Jesus. Sometimes we just relegate him as being the path to heaven. And friends, we're going to see in a moment that he is much more than just the way to get to heaven. You see, Jesus yearned to comfort his disciples, and he seeks to comfort you and me too. It does not matter what we face, the heart of Jesus is the same, to bless his followers, and this is why Jesus stated, I am the way. In the original text, there's a definite article in front of way, which signifies he was stating an equality between himself and the way. He wasn't saying, I am the path to heaven or I am the way to get to heaven. Jesus was equality, making equal himself to being the way. He was making himself to being equal to the truth and equal to the life. Many times we focus upon Jesus being the way to God, and yes, that is correct. We can even focus upon Jesus showing us the way to live. And friends, Jesus was calling himself the way. This is the very reason why the early Christians called themselves the way. Jesus proclaimed he is the way. We tend to be like the traveler in the jungle of Africa who complained to his guide by saying, "There is no road, no path in this jungle. We have lost our way." The guide replied, "There is no way. I am the way." Our Lord, friends, is the way. When we are with him, we may not know what stands to come our way, but we know whom. We know the way, Jesus. Friends, we must stop treating Jesus as simply a guide and understand he is the way. He is our way to God. He is our way we are made acceptable to a holy God. He is our way we are bridged to God. But friends, it gets better. Jesus is the way that God blesses you and me. I wonder if you heard that. Jesus is the way that God blesses you and me. You see, the Holy Spirit, it comes from Jesus Christ. It also comes from God the Father and Jesus being our advocate, Jesus being the mediator, the one that stands between you and me and God is the one who brings us to God, but he is also the one who brings a holy God to you and to me. Don't miss that. Jesus is that conduit. He is the way. And it's through him that we get to God, and it's through him that God gets to us and wants to bless us with every single spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. I hope that you're grasping that. You see, I hope that you heard that not only is Jesus the way to God for you and me, but Jesus is the way that God blesses you and me. Many times we fail to see Jesus, who is the way that God blesses you and me. Jesus is not only the way that people get to God and are made acceptable to the Holy Heavenly Father, but Jesus is the way that God gets to you and me. Now, why would God want to get to you and me? Friends, God wants to bless you and me through Jesus. The book of Ephesians, it tells us that God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us, past tense, he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He has already lavished those blessings upon you and upon me. He has already given you and me the blessings in Christ Jesus. I wonder if you heard it. God the Father has already blessed you and me in Christ Jesus. God has blessed you and me with every spiritual blessing that we will ever need. We don't need to seek God for what he has already given to us. We just need to believe. We need to trust and obey. As Jesus told the disciples, we need to believe God and to believe himself. And so we too, we need to believe God and we need to believe him. And now you may be here this morning thinking, what does that mean for me? Friends, what it means for you and me is that we stop reducing following of Jesus in our life to a list of set of rules of do's and don'ts. We must grasp the understanding that you and I, we are followers of the way, who is Jesus. Jesus is not our guide who tells you and me what to do or what not to do or where to go. Jesus himself is the way that we are made acceptable to God and the way that God blesses us. We must quit placing limitations on ridiculous rules and regulations. And now before any of you go out of this sanctuary this morning thinking that you can do whatever you want and live however you want, I want to caution us all that Jesus also called himself the truth, making a statement of equality there. And if our actions and choices reject the truth of God's word and the truth of Jesus' life, then we are not walking in the way. We are not walking according to Jesus, who is the way to God. We will not experience the blessings of God and the type of life that God has for you and for me. You see, all three of these statements of equality, they build on one another. And it focuses in upon our desire. If we want to walk in the way of Jesus, then we seek out his truth. And where is his truth? It's in God's holy writ, the Bible. And when our lives match up with what the Word of God says, then we will experience the Zoe life, the spiritual life, that deep communion with God, which possesses freedom, strength, stability, comfort, peace, all the attributes of the Spirit, love, joy. Friends, God has given those already to you. He has filled you with the Holy Spirit. He has given you his love. Romans 5:5 says he pours out his love into our hearts. We don't need to ask for more. Through Jesus Christ, God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. And in the Holy Spirit, we receive those because the Holy Spirit is the one who appropriates those blessings in your life and mine. Jesus is the way, friends. He's the conduit. We go to God, God comes to us. How cool is that? He's much more than a guide. He is so much more than someone who tells us how to live or someone who tells us what we should do or what we shouldn't do. Jesus, friends, is the way to God. And he, friends, is the way that God gets to us and lavishes the blessings through Jesus Christ in your life and mine. I hope you're hearing that. We can't do what we want. We cannot reduce the following of Jesus to a set of do's and don'ts. We must begin to see our lives and our choices and actions as many little parts of the whole component of the whole of our life, as being based upon God's truth, who is Jesus. Base your life upon the Scriptures. Base your life upon what is consistent with Jesus and how he reveals himself through his word. Base your actions, your choices, your lifestyle upon what is going to move you closer to walking with Jesus. And if you're here this morning and you're not sure what the Bible says about Jesus, then start reading it each day. Friends, don't overcomplicate things. If something is going to lead you closer to God, then it's probably okay. If something's going to lead you away from God, then it's probably not acceptable. It's as simple as that. If it leads you closer to God, it's probably okay. If it leads you away from God, it's probably not acceptable. It's all about Jesus being the way to God and Jesus being the way that God blesses you and me. And friends, let God bless you. That's what God wants for you. And friends, that's what I want for you as well. I want you and me to experience the best blessings that God has for all of us. And how do we experience that? You and I, we walk in the truth, who is Jesus and the Word of God. And here is the truest blessing that God has for you and me, to experience the life, the Zoe life, not life in this natural sense of the here and now, but the spiritual life, but not just to experience that when we die and go to heaven, but to experience that spiritual aliveness with Jesus each day. And this is the culminating event of what God wants for you, of seeing Jesus as the way to God and the way God blesses you and me, of walking in the truth of God's word and the truth of who Jesus is. And then, friends, you and I will experience the deepest communion with the holy God, which is, if you've ever experienced it, the greatest blessing that you and I can ever receive this side of heaven. And if you're not experiencing that here today, there's probably something going on. You're probably not walking according to the way. You're probably shortcutting what God wants to bless you with in this life and how he wants to impact your life. Or you're probably not walking according to the truth. And so I invite you this morning to assess your life, to introspect, to meet with Jesus and say, Lord Jesus, am I receiving what you have already bought and purchased for me from God in heaven, the one who has blessed us? And if I'm not experiencing it, what needs to take place? And friends, if you ask that, open and honest question, I guarantee you, and that's an absolute statement, and I've been challenged not to make absolute statements, but the God that I know, if your heart is right and my heart is right, if you go to the living Lord, the Heavenly Father, the Holy God, the one who is only good, He will answer you and He will lead you to Himself. I may not know much, but I do know that. And so meet with God. If you have to come to the altars, come to the altars. If you have to bow your head, bow your heads. We're going to close in the last song here this morning. And my challenge is for all of you to assess, allow the Holy Spirit to introspect your life, to see if you were walking according to the way. And let me just say that God isn't going to bless us with material things or things of that nature. He blesses us with the internal spiritual attributes that only come from Him. The strength, the peace, the assurance, the confidence. Those things, oh, that God blesses us with. So I challenge you, introspect your life. And if you need to, meet at the altar. And we would love to pray with you this morning. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Gracious God, we humbly bow before you, Jesus. We thank you for being the way that we get to God through you, O Christ, the way that we have been made acceptable to a holy God, the way that you have brought us back into communion with God our Father. And, O Jesus, we thank you for you being the way that God gets to us and blesses us with all good things that are part of your character and part of who you are and the good God that you are. Things such as inner peace and confidence and strength, mercy and grace. And so, Father, meet with us this morning. May you challenge each one of us to make the necessary corrections where we need to make and to do the necessary things, whether it's seeking more of your truth or it's realigning our choices to move us closer with you. May you grant us all the courage to do what we need to do, to not view you as a list of things we can do and can't, but to view you as the way, the one who moves us to God and the one who moves God to us. Oh, Christ, we love you and we praise you. May you just bless us this day in the wonderful name of our Lord and Jesus, our Savior and coming King, who is the way, we pray. Amen.
I grew up thinking that I wasn't good enough for God. I grew up hearing words like, you are fat, you are ugly, you are stupid, and you are good for nothing. Now, because I've accepted God into my life, I hear, you are beautiful, you are everything, you are blessed, and you are mine, and you are a child of God. It's the greatest peace that anybody or anything could ever give to me. And I hope you all can have that peace within you and know that when you give your heart to God, that you are redeemed through Him. You no longer hear the negativity of this world. And you know that once you accept Jesus into your life, that you can shake off the chains of this world and know that He is the way. He is the way through this world, and through Him, I will see Him one day. There's nothing better than that.
Understand these altars are open if you need them today. If you need God, just come on up.
As we close this morning, just know, you might be wondering, why would God want to get to you? Because the scriptures tell us that every good and perfect gift comes from above. It comes from God the Father, and He has good things for you and for me. He is a good God. And understand, it's through Christ that Jesus, through God, wants to bless you and me this day. May you receive the blessing that God has for you through Jesus Christ, who is the way, and may you accept it and receive it wholeheartedly and believe that God has it for you. As we close, may you be blessed this day. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, go in peace. Amen.